I was born Ronald Lee Knaus on April 17, 1951, in Greenville, Michigan, at the original United Memorial Hospital because I wanted to be close to my mother. I was spanked on the butt by Dr. Robert E. Rice and sent on my way. The small industrial town was surrounded by farming neighborhoods. There were several churches, two drugstores where you could get a real Coca-Cola or an ice cream soda, and everybody knew who you were. Most families went to church on Sunday, but if yours could not make it, there was always somebody that would give you a ride. And sometimes, if you're lucky, on the way home, they might ask you, "Jeet yet?" And when translated from Michigan slang to English, this means, "Have you had anything to eat yet today?" Then they would ask, "Want to?" Translation, "Would you like to come home with us and have some Sunday dinner before we take you back home?" I always said yes. It was a time when nobody knew where their front door key was because they never locked it. Children could leave their bikes parked anywhere, and when they came back to get it, it would be right where they left it. The first time I saw a color television show was looking through a store window in downtown Greenville. Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color was on Sunday nights. It was the only TV show that was in color. Everything else was in black and white. Greenville had two music stores, and during high school, I took trumpet and guitar lessons from Bob Hansen's House of Music. This paved the way for me later in life to play live music in many different bands. In 1844, John Green settled in the backwoods of Montcalm County. He built a sawmill on the Flat River, and it encouraged Danish families to construct their homes in Green's village. John Green had the village plotted in 1853, Greenville incorporated as a village in 1867, and as a city in 1871. The Detroit Grand Rapids Western Railroad had a station in Greenville. Other Danish people were attracted to Green's village by the optimistic letters that were sent back home to the old country. Heinrich Meyer was one of these immigrants from the Netherlands. He was a barber, and he opened a grocery store in Greenville in 1934. Heinrich's son, Fred Meyer, would go on to be the primary creator of the innovative Meyer franchise of supermarkets.
He will.
From the time in 1892 when Rani Refrigerator Company opened a manufacturing factory, Greenville has been known as the refrigerator capital of the world.
Here is a special bulletin. Early this morning, the long-awaited British and American invasion began when paratroops landed in the area of the Somme estuary.
People of Western Europe. A landing was made this morning on the coast of France by troops of the Allied Expeditionary Force.
The landing craft lumbering through a choppy sea so slowly that they must stop all ahead of time to get to their assigned places at their appointed times.
During World War II, Gibson Refrigerator manufactured the Flying Falcon, the gliders that were used in Operation Overlord. School children raised the money to purchase the Falcon aircraft. Plate Consolidated, Frigidaire, and Electrolux had refrigerating factories in Greenville. When Electrolux closed down the Greenville factory in 2006 and moved it to Mexico, over 2,700 employees and their families lost their steady income. In 2008, the Lafayette Street downtown was recognized as a National and State Register of Historic Sites. When I was born, the 50s were happening all around me.
And now,
but I was young for my age, so I don't remember much of the first part of the decade.
Sunday, June 25th, Korean dawn, armed forces from North Korea commenced an unprovoked assault against the territory of the Republic of Korea.
The attack upon Korea was an outright breach of the peace.
The United Nations flag flies today over the command headquarters which direct United Nations forces in action in Korea.
In 1950, a year before I was born, communist and non-communist forces began a Cold War on the Korean Peninsula. North Korea sent 75,000 of its troops beyond the 38th parallel, the border between North and South Korea. The North was trying to impose communism on its neighbor to the South. When I was 2 years old in 1953, the fighting ended. But after 60 years, the Korean War has not yet been declared officially over.
So if you get beyond the slave period and into full migration in the 1920s from 74, they get $5 a day offer.
And that was the basis of movement that grew out of that.
The history of the trials and tribulations, the history of racial oppression.
Uhuru, which is Swahili word for freedom. For us, UAW meant you ain't white.
The story of the Black Odyssey of racism and oppression.
The 1950s was a time that saw the beginning of the civil rights movement when Americans' conscience became aware of the discrimination and the inequality of African Americans.
When people say Detroit, first thing out of their mouth, talk about Motown and the whole genius of Eric Gordy back in 1958-59. You know, the great stars, the Temptations, the Four Tops.
Are you ready?
Check this out.
American rock and roll music was just taking off, inspiring a new youth movement. The song that I hear the most in my 50s memories is Bill Haley's Rock Around the Clock. Although I still can hear in my mind that Bob Merrill song recorded by Patti Page, How Much Is That Doggy in the Window?
The one with the waggly tail.
Commercial businesses like Pepsi rode the new consumer market wave of the youth seeking their buying power.
Go get Pepsi for the Pepsi.
They gave James Dean his first big break by using him in their Pepsi commercials.
News of the day, September 30th, 1955. Actor James Dean was killed today with a head-on collision at an auto rally. He was only 24 years old.
I personally like the Ioni grape and orange soda pop that was made right here in Michigan.